it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Love. Love will keep us together. Think of me, babe, whenever some sweet-talking girl comes along, singing her song. Don't mess around. You gotta be strong. Just stop, 'cause I really love you. Stop. I'll be thinking of you. Look at my heart and let love keep us together. That's the first verse of one of the more modern hymns of the church. It's not really a hymn. We're in church, so I just called it a hymn. A song called Love Will Keep Us Together, written in 1973 by Neil Sedaka and Howard Greenfield. Does anybody remember this song? Who made it famous? Do you remember? No? Captain and Tennille. 1975, they recorded that song, and they won a Grammy in 1975 for that song. And then again, in 1995, they released another album called 20 Years of Romance. They re-recorded the song and won a second Grammy for the same song. How about that? What a great love story those two have had. They've been married for, what was it, 53 years? And she just filed for divorce last month. The captain has... I don't remember what it's called, but it's a disease that's very similar to Parkinson's, and she's had enough. Isn't that sad? They're in their 70s, and they're getting a divorce because she's just had enough. Now, I really can't pretend I understand what that kind of thing is like. I know, well, my mom's not here, so I can talk about her. I got her permission to tell this story. Don't worry about it. My father had Alzheimer's, for those of you who knew my dad. And there were, if you've not encountered Alzheimer's, and I suppose many, if not most of you have at some time, one of the characteristics of Alzheimer's is that the person with Alzheimer's disease will be very unpleasant to the people they love the most. And if you knew my dad, you knew he was a nice guy. I don't know that my dad ever really had strongly harsh words for anybody. I don't know that he ever got in a fight with anybody except for the guy that my mom was dating when he met her. That's a different story. But there was a point where my mom came to me and she said, I don't know how much more of this I can take. I know it has to be rough. And there have to be times, especially times in a marriage, where it becomes difficult to deal with the other person. I can speak from experience only in the fact that Robin and I have had two fights. We're very fortunate, I think. As we have been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount, we come through Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Divorce has become very simple today. We're looking at, in this country, a divorce rate of about 50%. Now, being Christians, of course, we have a much different statistic. If you look at people who are professing to be Christians, the divorce rate is only 50%. It's the same. I found a list of the top 10 reasons for divorce in America. Counting down, I'm doing a top 10 list. Number 10, differences in priorities and expectations. I know this is kind of funny because, you know, in premarital counseling, one of the things that we do is we talk about, well, what do you expect in marriage? And we ask each person to make a list of the things that you're expecting to get out of marriage. And I know my friend Pastor Tom was telling me once that he had asked a couple to do this, and he presented to him a piece of paper saying that he expected that when he got home at 6 o'clock, dinner would be on the table and the house would be clean and he'd have clean clothes for tomorrow. And she handed him a piece of paper that said, I hope that he understands that I don't know how to cook. I'm not a very tidy person, and I hate doing laundry. Number 9 is addiction to either drugs or alcohol. Number 8 is child-rearing issues, which is kind of curious because don't some people have children to save their marriages? You hear that all the time. Number 7, religious and cultural strains. Number 6, boredom. Number 5, sexual incompatibility. Number 4, marital financial issues. Which seems kind of curious to me because, as I understand it, divorce is really expensive. Number 3, physical, psychological, or emotional abuse. Number 2, communication breakdowns in relationships. And number 1 is infidelity. Some of these seem kind of petty to me. Maybe it's just me. I know that with Robin, we were discussing once, we were talking about it, and I told her that if she ever left me, I was going to go with her. I'm not going to be that easy to get rid of. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16 says, "The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful." We make these vows in marriage. One of the things that I really liked when Robin and I got married was the pastor that that married us had us memorize our vows. And one of the things I've done a lot recently, I haven't been in a position to do this in any of the marriage ceremonies that I've done. But advice I've been giving to young people who are getting married, one of the things I always advise them is to memorize your vows, because that way you know what you're saying. You're not just parroting something back. And if you memorize it well enough, you can go back when you need to and try to remember what it is you promised. I didn't do a real good job memorizing mine. I remember that the day we were getting married, my best man Dave was there with me, drilling him into me so that I could try to remember it, because I don't really memorize things well. But I working on it all day, and I still got up there in the front, and I never felt nervous, because I knew I was doing the right thing, and I couldn't remember them. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1 says, "If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her from his house." You see, in Deuteronomy, one of the problems that was going on in ancient Israel that Jesus was addressing here in the Sermon on the Mount when he was talking about divorce was the fact that people were reading this verse in Deuteronomy incorrectly. If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, he can write her a certificate of divorce, give it to her, and send her from his house. Men were interpreting this as, well, I find her displeasing, so away with her. And I think that's one of the problems that goes on today. It's just the fact that, you know, I find you displeasing. Or, which was it? Number 6, I'm bored. I'm bored with a marriage. Curiously enough, one of the things I found interesting in the fact that you always hear him saying that, you know, God hates divorce. God hates divorce. And yeah, I can see that. Now I don't want anybody to worry about, divorce will not separate you from God. I don't want anybody to worry about that. I don't know who here is divorced, has been divorced, whatever. Divorce will not keep any of us from heaven. I've talked to people who have had questions about that. Particularly, there was a gentleman in prison I was talking to who, he was all concerned because he was divorced. After he got arrested, his wife divorced him and has gone off and remarried. And he was concerned. He was, you know, I'm divorced. Am I still able to be saved? Well, yes. It's like anything we've done, there is forgiveness for us. So I don't want anybody to worry about being divorced if you're in that situation, or if a loved one of yours is in that situation. Do not be concerned. Do not be worried about that. In fact, there was a time in history where God himself divorced Israel. Isaiah chapter 50 starts out, this is what the Lord says. "Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Because of your sins, you were sold. Because of your transgressions, your mother was sent away." Because Israel was unfaithful to God in their marriage. So Israel was then sent into exile. But a reconciliation came, and Israel was forgiven. Just as with us. We can reconcile with God. And I understand. I've known people who have been in bad marriages and had divorce. And they've tried to work it out and can't. I know some who have not tried to work it out. There are even churches today whom God has divorced. There are churches today in this country that God has taken His Holy Spirit from because the churches are unfaithful. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her a victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It gets harder and harder, it seems, for us to avoid sin. It permeates our culture. It affects the children. You know, kids are growing up today looking at the examples that parents are setting, and some of the parents aren't setting a really good example. And it's kind of a wonder. As a culture, we've made it easier to sin. I know growing up, I had a lot of friends whose parents were divorced. I don't know how many of Ruby, I don't think Ruby's got too many friends whose parents have been. That's good. That's good. But I think when most of you were growing up, did you know anyone who had been? But there weren't many. There weren't many. I think we need to, one of the things we need to understand, that in these situations, hearts are broken. People are broken. And they need to feel the love we can give them. We need to work at expressing that love. The fact that it becomes easier and easier for us to sin makes it more and more difficult in many ways for us. But sometimes it just is. And we need to remember in our relationship with God that He loves us. And we need to be true to Him, not just as a church, but as individuals. And we need to remember in our loving relationships that we need to hold on to that relationship at whatever cost. You see, even then it was legal and acceptable to divorce for adultery, but it's never been mandatory. It's never been required. If reconciliation can be made, it should be made. It's like that with any relationship. Do we abandon our friends because they have another friend? No. Do we abandon the people in our lives and not take them back when they come back seeking us? We shouldn't. Even when a friend or loved one breaks our heart, can we welcome them back? We don't always have to, but I believe it's a good idea. Be on your guard and do not be unfaithful.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And I think a good and final word for us today, as it seems so often to be, is forgiveness. Are people who are divorced bad? No, it happens. I want to make sure we understand that. It's not always the fault of the person you know. It may not necessarily be anyone's fault in particular. We all sin. We all fall short. In our own relationships, even outside of marriage, a divorce of sorts can still happen. We need to fight against that. We need to try to reconcile as best we can. I know Robin and I have decided that divorce is not an option. She's always going to have to put up with me. Yeah. If she leaves me, I'm going with her. We need to struggle for our relationships. If Captain and Tennille had been singing in Greek, the love they were talking about was not the agape love that God expects us to feel for one another. Or not so much feel, but to express to one another. And that agape love will keep us together. I'm not going to read any more of that song. It's hokey and saccharine. And you know what I mean, though. We just need to hang on to that agape love. That love that says, I don't care. Well, I care about you, but I don't care what you did. I don't care what the problem is. I still love you. That's what we need to hang on to. That's the cord that cannot be broken that we just sang about in a real church hymn. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.